Today is special because today is Palm Sunday. And as Shane had me come up here on the 24th, he wanted me to wrap up this series of This is Jesus, the Gospel of Mark. Who has been enjoying this series? It's been awesome, right? It's really cool. It's one of the smallest gospels out of the four, but it's really cool to see Jesus' life through the eyes of Peter and Mark. And being able to dive in. And we got to hear from Shane. We got to hear from Adam. We got to hear last week from Derek and from Ed, which was awesome. Who was here for that? That was awesome, right? They shared incredible stories and just life-changing stories, unexpected stories, right? So I get to wrap it up today on Palm Sunday. And I really had to go deep to figure out what this message was going to be, because there's been so many messages preached on Palm Sunday, and really well. So I'm like, okay, Lord, how do you want Amber to deliver this message to your people that is edifying in your word? And so he brought to mind my class that I lead. So if you don't know, I lead a Holy Spirit class with Joe and Estella. We all lead it all together, and we have done this class. It's called The Holy Spirit, An Introduction. It's a 5-week video course. It's amazing. You just go through, you learn about the Holy Spirit, you learn about who he is, what his role is, and how you can become more intimate with him. And it's been such a blessing. I've done it through Heart Church for about 3 different sessions now. I'm going to do it again in summer. Really excited about that. But one of my favorite days is the last day. It's 5 weeks. So the last day, it's really special because we watch the video, we have a discussion, and I invite Shane because the discussion is, it's big. And so I like to have the support of the pastor and for him to answer any questions because he could do it better than me. But at the end, we get to pray on one another. We've learned who the Holy Spirit is. We learned what his role is. And now we get to pray on everybody in the class individually and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us and speak life onto the people. And it's an amazing experience. Who has taken the Holy Spirit course? Raise your hand. It was awesome, right? Yeah, it was great. So this last time in January, we did it. Shane came, he was there. And what's nice about it is we not only pray on the people who attend the class, but we pray on the leaders as well, because it gives the opportunity for everybody that is in the class to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them and give a word to the person that we're praying for. And so I selfishly love it because I love to be prayed on. So I got prayed on that night, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of the 2 things that Shane prayed over me that day. And he said, that one thing is your title. And I know that was a long story to get to the title, but the title is Expect the Unexpected. And I think that this word is not only for me, but it's for the church. To expect the unexpected. Now, if you saw my sermon last time, it was over a month ago, my sermon was Get Comfortable with Being Uncomfortable. And now we got Expect the Unexpected. Good titles, right? All right, can't take credit, but all right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start off with Jesus' triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. This is when the week that he came, when he was crucified. So Mark 11, 7 through 11. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would be in our midst, Lord. I just pray that you would prepare our hearts for this message, all of us for this message, Lord. This message is from you, Lord. So I just pray that I would be able to yield myself to you and your voice, Lord. That you would just use my voice to edify the church, Lord. And just allow us to remember everything that you've done, Lord. And to use us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So this was the triumphal entry into... Is the slides not working? Are they there? Okay, great. This is the triumphal entry. And I'm going to make another confession that doesn't involve my laundry. This other confession is I have not read the whole book, the whole Bible, all the way through. I have read a lot of it. I have read the New Testament several times. I've read a lot of the Old Testament, but not everything. And so when I was diving deep into this message, I learned that his triumphal entry was prophesied. And it was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, there were a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. It was over 300 of them that he fulfilled from the Old Testament. And he needed to do it because he was the Messiah. He had to fulfill the things so that the Jewish people would understand that this truly is the Messiah. These were the signs, and he was fulfilling the signs. And they knew a Messiah was coming. It was 400 years since their last prophet, and the prophet spoke of a Messiah coming. But they weren't expecting Jesus. They were expecting a Messiah, and they expected somebody that was from the line of David, and they expected somebody that was closer to David. And if you read the Psalms of David, you know that he was a warrior. And he came in, and he freed the people, and he did all these things, and he was great. But that's not Jesus. And he didn't fit into their expectation box. The Jewish people were used to this cycle of being oppressed and then freed, turning to the Lord, turning away from the Lord, and then being oppressed. And it was just this vicious cycle over and over and over again. You see it in Egypt, and you see it all over the Old Testament. And so they were expecting, at this point, they were under the Roman rule, that the Messiah would come and release them, and they would turn back to the Lord. But what they didn't realize was he came back not just for them, but the world. But he didn't fit the expectations. And can I say that Jesus doesn't need to meet your expectations? Yeah. For one, he's God. He doesn't have to do that. And two, he's going to do the thing a lot better in a better way than you could ever come up with. It's always going to be better. The Bible is full of promises. Naomi mentioned one in the Bible today. There's so many promises to us in the scriptures, but the Lord always gives us individual promises too. And he says, you're going to go to point B, and you're in point A looking at point B and being like, okay, how are we getting there? And he's like, trust me. And then being a human, we're trying to figure it out, and they're like, yeah, he's going to open that door, he's going to do that, and then we'll end up in point B, and the Lord's like, no, not really. But why is it important that we expect the unexpected from the Lord? Why is that so important? And I wrote this, because we don't want to reject the promise that God has for us just because it isn't what we thought. The Jewish people rejected Jesus because he wasn't what they thought. So when the Lord promises you something, don't reject it just because it didn't happen or didn't happen on a silver platter like you thought. So how do we expect the unexpected? What does that look like? Well, I got three things. One, lean in. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, do you know the Lord? Do you actually know him? Yes, he's our creator. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he provides for us. He's our comforter. He does all the things for us, but do you know him? Do you know his personality? Do you know his character? How do you know a person? I know Eric. He's my husband, right? And the way that I had to know him was, well, I had to date him. I had to figure out, is this the guy that I want to marry? I had to spend a lot of time with Eric, right? And I still spend a lot of time with Eric. I spend a lot of time with this dude. We work together. We do life together. We do all the things together, right? Well, you need to date the Lord. You need to spend time with the Lord. Make time. Be intentional. When you accept Christ and accept his gift of salvation, you get the Holy Spirit inside you. You carry the presence of the Lord with you everywhere you go. He sees everything you see. He experiences everything you experience. He feels all the feelings you feel. And he has made a covenant that he is not going to leave you. He is going to stay with you no matter what you're watching or what you're listening to. He's going to be there. Now, he might get quiet because he doesn't like what you're doing, but he will never leave you. So get to know him. He's there all the time. Get to know his personality. Why is that important? Because when something unexpected happens, you can identify his work. You can identify, yeah, that's the Lord. That's something he would do. Oh yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. That's something he would say. I hear it all the time. You don't want to get so comfortable that you lose awe of the Lord, because then you might get jaded. You don't want to do that. You got to address that. That happens. But you can still identify who the Lord is and his work and what he does. Number two, let the Holy Spirit lead. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So leaning in to God requires you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And for this, it might be easy for some people. Like, they don't want the responsibility. They don't want to be making decisions. So they're like, Holy Spirit, you take it. You make all the things. You decide what I wear. You do all the things, right? But for some people who are type A, it's a little harder. Because we have all the plans. We have it color-coded. We have all the things lined out. We have backup plans to the plan in case that doesn't happen. And we have to learn to give those plans to the Lord so that he can pat our little head and say, that's great, and then put it on the heavenly fridge. Because that's our plan, right? That's not necessarily his. It doesn't mean it's easy. It's really hard to allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And what does that look like? That means spending time with the Lord, but that means going every morning and just saying, Holy Spirit, renew my mind. Less of me, more of you. Renew my mind and allow me to see your people, to see the world that you do, the way that you do. That means that every little thing that you do throughout the day, pray. Paul says in the scriptures to pray continuously, to constantly be praying. And that means all the little things. If you're writing an email, be like, Holy Spirit, I need help writing this email because I don't really like this person. Give me grace. Help me write this email. If that means, you know, helping a client, if that means parenting your child, whatever it is, the little things. He cares about the little things. It's not just the big decisions. He cares about everything that you do. Now, in today's culture, there's a lot of manifesting your truth, manifesting your future. You deserve it. Speak it out loud. Make it happen. That's a lot of what our culture is today. And in our life group book, in one of the chapters, he mentions that the enemy will take a seed of truth and he'll twist it. And there's truth in that there's power in the spoken word. So much power in what you say. You know, we're made in the image of God. And how did God create the universe? He spoke it. So we have that same power. Maybe not on the same level, but we still have that power over our lives and over others. And when you lead yourself, what you say may not always be good. It may be well-intentioned, but it may not always be good. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, then he's going to speak life. He's going to speak all good things, not only into your life, over yourself, but over others. Because we are meant to be the vessel to build the kingdom and to serve the Lord. So allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind and be fully dependent on him. Every little thing, ask him, like, should I do this? Okay, cool. It's practice. It's practice of hearing the voice of the Lord and constantly going to him. Number three, say yes. 1 John 4:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Can I say that the Lord is always wanting to talk to you? He is constantly waiting. He's just waiting. He's there, and he wants to talk to you. He's jealous, so jealous for your time. And all we need to do is turn to him and tune into him. And everybody hears from the Lord differently. Everybody hears from the Lord differently. If it's just like a parent and their children, Shane and Heather are not going to talk to Caleb the same way that they're going to talk to Haley. They're going to talk differently because they receive information and instruction differently. And the same thing is true for the Lord. We are his children, and he's going to speak to us where we're at. We receive differently, and he's going to meet us there. Now, for some people, they turn on the worship music, and they just get a download from the Lord. They just hear him straight through worship. Others, they have to be in a silent, silent place, darkness, and just be quiet. And then they'll hear from the Lord. Other people, it's a combination. Some people, they see images. Some people hear audibly. Some people get thoughts. It's all different, but it's all the Lord. And you just have to learn to figure out what your frequency is. If you can't hear for the Lord or you're having struggles, just keep trying, keep seeking. He will find you. He promises that in his scripture, that he will speak to you. You got to just try different things and keep seeking him. And you'll find the way that he speaks to you. Now, once you actually hear him, when he tells you to do something, there are no excuses because you hear from the Lord. He can't be like, Lord, I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Just try next time. You know, I'm going through a tunnel. Like, that's not going to work, right? There are no excuses when he tells you to do something. And let me tell you that when he tells you to do something, it's going to be more often than not unexpected, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Take, for instance, me here right now. If you had asked me a year ago, oh, would you consider preaching? I'd be like, no. No way. I like to be behind the camera. I like to be behind the scenes. No, I'm good. I'm fine. Also, it's a little uncomfortable up here. I love you guys. You guys are amazing, but it is still a little uncomfortable up here. But I would not say no, because the stretch and being up here and preparing and the nerves the night before and all the things, I would not trade that in, because there's so much growth that happens in that stretch. You learn so much in that stretch. And you won't even know your impact until I think we're one with the Lord again. You're going to see all the ripples that you did in the kingdom, and it's going to be awesome. It'll be worth it for that uncomfortable, unexpected thing. When you say yes, that is when transformation happens. The Holy Spirit, he has many roles. He is your helper. He is here. But when you say yes, his main role is to make you more like Jesus. Less like you, more like Jesus. Every time you say yes, you become more in alignment with him. Every yes gets you closer to the way Jesus was. Every yes builds the kingdom. Every yes glorifies God. Yes, you still have your desires, but your desires become more in alignment with his. And there's so much freedom in that. Yes, the Christian life is hard, but the promise is that you are not alone. You have the Holy Spirit, and he promises you joy. He promises you strength. He promises you wisdom and all the things to do what it is that you're called to do. So you're not alone. I want to invite Nate to come up. When Jesus came to fulfill his calling and his mission, the majority of the Jewish people didn't believe he was the Messiah. They rejected him, and they crucified him. He came not only for them, but he came for us. He was not what they expected. But Jesus came, and he wasn't what they expected, but he was and is everything that we need. Jesus is enough. He's more than enough. He fits the bill in every way. He wasn't what was expected, but he is what was needed. And so I want to challenge you this week that when the Lord says to do something, you say yes. Lean in. Let the Holy Spirit lead. Let him speak through you. Let him speak to you and spend time with him. When you read the scripture, you're going to be able to see his character. It'll pop out. Be like, yeah, that's the Lord. Yes, that's the love of God. I see it. I see his hands, I see his feet in the body of the church. And I want to challenge you to be more like Jesus. And we're going to have like kind of a wrap up because Jesus did all these things. And I'm going to show you. So one, lean in. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. He made time. He woke up before everybody was awake. He went on the mountain and he prayed. Now he's God. But he knew the importance of seeking his Father, spending time with the Holy Spirit, and being in alignment with his Father. He knew how important that was. Let the Holy Spirit lead. Mark 1:12. At once the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He knew the importance of instruction from the Spirit. He knew the Holy Spirit was sending him into the wilderness and that it wasn't going to be easy. But it was what he needed to be able to fulfill his ministry. It was going to grow him in such a way that he could fulfill his calling. So he went and he listened. And he listened and heard him because of the communion that he had with him. Say yes. Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, this is Jesus speaking. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Jesus knew what he was about to do. This was the night that he was betrayed in the garden. He's praying this prayer, and he knew what he was going to go through, what he was about to endure. He knew the price. And there was a part of him that was like, Lord, if there's any way that I don't have to do this, please, but not my will. He had a choice. He didn't have to do the thing he did. But he chose to pay the price. And his yes has an eternal impact. Because of his yes, we get to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit and the Lord, the Father, without the law. The law is written on our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Because of his yes, we don't have to be separated from the Father. Because of his yes, we get to spend eternity with him. It's so important to remember what Jesus did and to remember that he is the living example of how we are to live. It's all there in the scripture. It's in Mark. It's in all the gospels. So dig in. Lean in. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And say yes. Because it's so worth it. It's so worth it. The Lord works in unexpected ways. So don't miss what the Lord has for you just because it's not what you thought. Don't miss it. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this message. Lord, I just pray that this week, that your Holy Spirit would work in us, Lord. That you would just reveal to us the things that you want to do in our lives, the transformation that you have started that you want to finish, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would remember all the things that Jesus went through. I pray that we would remember his sacrifice and his choice to say yes so that we could have what we have today. It's because of him that we're here. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, and I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.